Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Memorial Day weekend is 1 week away, and that means boating season. You can expect to see watercraft of every size on the waters in the DMV, and with the fun can come the risks of boating accidents. What do you need to know to keep you and others safe? Well, we are talking about it today. My guests are Edwin Gassaway, commander with the Potomac River Power Squadron, and Paige Pearson, public information officer with the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources. If you have a comment or question about boating or boating safety, whether you own a boat and you've owned a boat for a while, you're new to it, or maybe you're just going to be hanging out with someone who does own a boat, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Paige, Edwin, thank you both for joining the conversation.
No, you're so welcome. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So,
thank you.
So, Paige, let me start with you, because you're in, you know, Virginia, but of course the waterways in Virginia stretch through D.C. They connect with D.C. They connect with Maryland as Virginia prepares for boating season. What's happening in your office? What is the main charge right now?
What is happening? What is not happening?
Yeah, right now? How about that?
It is well into boating season, even though it's just May. But, you know, boating season for us, honestly, is kind of all year long, because we have waterfowl hunters that, you know, hunt all winter off of a vessel, off of any kind of vessel, really. And then it goes straight into just enjoying, you know, recreating on the water, and then it gets to be summer, and then you're back to fall, and then it's a whole big thing.
I didn't know that.
But we are knee-deep in just National Safe Boating Week. It's next week. Actually starts tomorrow. That's a lie. It starts tomorrow. So we are just trying to get out and, you know, spread the word of just being safe when you're on the water. Near the water.
So talk to me about National Safe Boating Week for those who are not familiar with it, or who spend a whole lot of time, you know, on the water. I may charter a boat 3 or 4 times during the course of this summer, but, you know, I'm not hanging out by the dock of the bay.
Sure, the dock of the bay sounds delightful right now with the weather in heaven, I will say. But it's a national initiative just to get the word out about safe boating, essentially, and just being safe while you're on a boat, while you're on or near the water, essentially. And we'll do this again later this summer with a initiative called Operation Dry Water, July 4th week. That's a national initiative as well, more so law enforcement, more so BUIs, so drinking, you know, while you're on the water. Mm-hmm. But this week really is just to make sure everyone is safe, make sure you have all the required things on your boat to be safe. Should something happen, what do you do? Honestly, just wear your life jacket. We just want to reiterate being safe on the water, and that comes with wearing your life jacket.
I do want to talk a little bit about that whole life jacket thing just a tad bit later. But Edwin, let me bring you into this conversation. First and foremost, what is the Potomac River Power Squadron?
The Potomac River Power Squadron is a 107-year-old organization, started here in Washington, D.C. in 1915, and it was initially an organization that worked with the naval military. We did training for the Coast Guard along the Potomac River, and it was in 1919 that the mission changed from maneuvering to actual civilian safety on boats. So presently today, we offer classes and seminars to people who own boats, who want to own a boat, and who like hanging out with people who own boats. The classes range from boat handling all the way up to senior navigator, which runs the gamut of the basic vessel safety, which life jackets are part of, your VHF radios, your how to tie and untie, dock and undock your boat, and keeping everybody who enjoys the water safe. So we're an educational first boating organization.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about boating season, the warm weather boating season well underway ahead of Memorial Day weekend. Whether you own a boat or just like to be on boats and out on the water, if you have a comment, if you have a question about safety, rules, regulations, things you need to know to make sure that your time on a boat this summer is safe and fun, give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Paige, let me go back to the life jacket thing. It's going to be 1,000,002 degrees tomorrow.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
And for recreational boating, What does the Commonwealth of Virginia recommend, and how do you balance what you recommend as far as safety with people who are saying, boy, this is just going to kind of spoil the fun?
Sure. And I mean, we understand that, and it's not fun to really wear a big, thick life jacket. However, nowadays, it's not like when we were kids and you have the big orange thick ones that you can't even breathe in. There are so many different kinds now, thin ones, inflatable ones, waist packs, that honestly, half the time you don't even know you're wearing. It's just, you have it on when you need it, and that's the most important part. So there's a whole different ball game with life jackets nowadays, all Coast Guard approved, of course. Just make sure when you are wearing a life jacket, when you open it up, you'll see a little patch inside that says Coast Guard approved. Make sure that's there. And also there's a weight limit per each life jacket. So make sure whoever is wearing the life jacket is within that weight range, because otherwise it won't be functioning like it should be, should you need it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, we understand, people don't really want to wear them, especially if they're comfortable on the water. We just recommend you do, because you never know when something's going to happen. You know, it just takes a split second for things to go wrong. And 9 times out of 10, when things do go wrong, a life jacket could save your life.
That sounds like a very important piece of advice.
Right.
So, Edwin, can you give me a basic safety check that a novice needs to be aware of? Whether someone like me, okay, so if my friend says, look, I'm going sailing this week and I'm going boating, and he has, you know, a 36-foot sloop, I don't know, something, whatever you call them.
Uh-huh.
What is it that I should kind of look for, hear from, you know, my friend who owns a boat, when I don't know anything about boating?
Certainly. First thing that all boat owners should do with any guests that come aboard is to point out the location of the life vest. There are 3 different classes that are all Coast Guard approved. And also, you want to keep an eye on your radio. For instance, Channel 9 on your VHF radio is specifically for hailing non-commercial vessels. And Channel 16 is the international hailing and distress frequency that the Coast Guard and other local entities will post weather alerts, incidents that happen on the water. So you want to keep your ear open, at least to that radio. Secondly, would be weight distribution. Larger boats tend to handle better, but they can even succumb to weight differences in the boat. So for instance, if you have 4 or 5 coolers on your boat, you want to balance that out with the passengers as well, so the boat remains balanced and on an even keel. Another thing would be to have a float plan. A float plan is basically where you're going, what time you should arrive, and what time you're departing. And it's also good to have someone on land who's not going with you to be aware of your float plan, just in case you don't arrive or, if you don't depart or arrive when you're scheduled to, somebody has the wherewithal to alert their authorities to. And another thing would also be clothing on boats. We all like to take the pictures for the Instagram and other social media, but boat wear should be soft, non-skid marked shoes. Clothing that isn't too loose in the wind or can become tangled on parts of the boat. Because actually when you board and depart from a vessel, clothing can be caught on handrails and other things around the boat and even on the dock itself, which can create a hazard, tripping hazard. You can fall in the water. And most people don't wear their life jackets once they dock their boat and get off. But I've seen a lot of people who actually fall into the water departing a boat after time on the water. So you might be careful about your surroundings and what actually you wear on the water. Another thing that's also very important would be the first aid kit. By law, all vessels are required to have a first aid kit. When we do our vessel safety inspections in the DMV area, one of the things we check for is a first aid safety kit, which is very important because you don't want to fall off, cut yourself, you know, get infected, and it just leads to a lot more hardened and just unsafe practices on the water.
Wow, that's a lot to think about. I appreciate that because I think that for people who are listening, a lot of people, if they don't own a boat, they just show up, and that's it. But you really don't think about, you know, all of those little things which are really not little at all, but extremely significant, and would possibly save a life. Your thoughts about what Edwin was just sharing with us, Paige?
Yeah, and if I don't mind just getting in on that,
please.
The bow lines as well. So
yeah.
We've had a lot of interest, I guess, different things that when bow lines end up in the water instead of on the dock, they can get tangled in your motor.
What is a bow line?
The lines that tie your boat to the dock or to the boat to whatever you're tied up to. To make sure it stays in
front. The bow lines are the what we call the forward of the boat. The point that you go forward is your bow line. Wrapped around your propeller is very expensive to get it off, or you have to actually have to get in the water and cut them off. So you want to be very mindful of that.
Yeah, when you said close, that made me think of the same thing. Like, make sure your lines are out of the water, because they can get tangled so easily, and that just creates a whole world of problems.
Gosh, we've got a lot to talk about. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about boating safety, boating fun, how to make sure that you have both during the warm weather boating season. Let's go to Kevin. Kevin calling from D.C. Kevin, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Kevin, what's on your mind? Are you there? Kevin may be out on his boat. Kevin, give us a call. Give us a call back if you can at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I take a break, Paige and Edwin, and I'll start with you, Paige, are there any information websites or any other pieces of information that you want to put out there for our listeners if they want to check it out after the show, or something perhaps we can put on our website after the program?
Sure. We have all of our boating information on our website. That includes boater safety, which we encourage you to have, and if you're going to drive a vessel, you have to have. So if you go to dwr.virginia.gov/boating, you can go down and find all the information right there.
Once again, please,
dwr.virginia.gov /boating.
Boating. Wonderful.
Yep.
And also, Edwin, anything you want to share before we go to a break?
Yes. The Potomac River Squadron's webpage is potomacboating.org. And on that page, you can find demonstrations of proper use of flares, radios, life jackets, not tying in basic rules of the sea on that page. And that's potomacboating.org.
And, of course, we will make sure that both of those links are posted on our website on whur.com, including the podcast, as we do every single night. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Looks like Kevin is back to shore. So, Kevin, stay with us. We're going to talk to you after the break. Please do not hang up. And don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. You can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. And as I said, if you're on the phone, stay with us. Do not hang up. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This discussion continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about boating safety ahead of the summer boating season. It's really already underway. My guests are Edwin Gassaway, commander with the Potomac River Power Squadron, and Paige Pearson, public information officer with the Virginia Department of Wildlife Resources. Lines are open if you have a question about boating safety, and the like in the DMV. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Kevin, calling from D.C. I take it you dropped anchor to get back on the program.
Yes, I did.
So what's on your mind?
Okay, I just brought the boat last year, and I have it on the water at Fort Washington. I have my I took the safety course and everything. I'm still basically learning to drive the boat, and so what my question is that do they offer any classes in the DC area that I can take, or some seminars that I can go to learn how to effectively make sure my boat is safe for not only my passengers and also for myself as well.
Edwin, I'll let you take that away.
Okay, yeah, I would say, Kevin, you should definitely visit our webpage. We have a part where you can type in your information, and one of our certified examiners will contact you. You said you've already taken the basic class. The next one that we would teach would be something called seamanship, and that's a deeper dive into navigation here on the waterway. One of the advantages of the Potomac River Squadron, we're all local boaters, so we've gone from basically the Anacostia River around to Georgetown, down past Fort Washington, where you are, all the way out to the Chesapeake Bay. So we can kind of guide you and help you come up with a float plan that fits your needs.
Okay.
And that, you can find that on PotomacBoating.org, is that correct, Edwin?
Yes. We have a submission part of the page, and one of our instructors will contact them.
Okay.
Or anybody that needs their information.
You got that information, Kevin? PotomacBoating.org?
Yes, I got it.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, congratulations on the boat, and be safe.
Yes, most definitely. That's the first and foremost thing, is to make sure that the passengers are safe and that I am safe at all times.
And when you get all of that squared away, give me a call. I'll bring the hot dogs.
Most definitely.
Give me that, too.
Hey, everyone is welcome, man. You know, we can roll. You know,
come down to visit.
Okay. Powerboat.org.
Potomac Boating.
PotomacBoating.org.
That's correct.
Yes. And actually, tomorrow, Kevin, myself and two other vessel safety examiners will be at the Fort Washington Marina doing free safety vessel safety checks.
Starting
at noon tomorrow.
Okay, great. Now, when you're saying, is that a one-time?
Yes, we do an inspection for you. Then we issue a decal upon completion and passage of the examination. And that's basically a decal to let the Coast Guard and Harbor Patrol know that you've gone through an inspection and you have all the certified equipment on board that you're supposed to have.
Oh, well, see, I'll miss that one tomorrow because I have prior engagement. But is there another day that you are offering that as well?
Yes, the following week, we kind of move around from marinas, but we can schedule something for you. We'll be at Fort Washington Marina tomorrow. Next week, District Yacht Club. Then I think we'll probably circle back to Fort Washington to get people like yourself that couldn't make it tomorrow.
Okay, great.
All right. Kevin, thank you so much. Be safe. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Paige, in Virginia, do you need a boat piloting license of any sort? What kinds of licenses, registrations, and other kinds of things do you need for boating in Virginia?
So you will have to take a boating safety class, and you can actually do that online. On that boating site I gave you earlier on our website, that'll link you to it. And I think it used to be like $24 or $25. Don't quote me on that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an online course, and it kind of takes you through. I think it was 6 or 8 hours. It's long, but it's thorough. So it's a good course. I only say that because I used to work for the company who created the course. So I think it's a very thorough course. But you have to have that. There's no minimum age to operate the boat. But if it's a child under, I think, 12 or 13, you have to be with someone who has that boating license to operate the boat. So they can't just go out by themselves. They'd have to go with someone who's had boater safety before.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can find all that information on our website.
One of the things you mentioned earlier, Edwin, when you were talking about going down to Fort Washington and doing on-site inspection, what are you looking for? And how long does it take to complete an on-site inspection? Does it, for example, depend on the size of the vessel? Give me the rundown on that.
Okay. Most inspections take about 20 to 30 minutes.
Wow.
We ask for things. We'd like to see that your life jackets are in good working condition, that your lines are properly tied, that your boat is documented according to the locality that your vessel is docked at. We check your radio for you, your running light, your anchor light, make sure your hull identification number is correct and matches what's on your documentation. We don't check your engine or anything like that, but we do look down inside the bilge, the engine compartment, to make sure it's free of, water, rags, and that you have the proper safety equipment installed. Like, for instance, my boat is a 33-foot Chris-Craft. So for this size boat, we have actual fire extinguishers built into the boat in the engine compartment to put out any fires that start. So we check that for you. We check your first aid kits. We'll check that the basic understanding and federal and local requirements are all met, so we can issue your decal and you can get out in the water and have a good time.
Mm-hmm. From Virginia's perspective, Paige, do things vary from jurisdiction to jurisdiction? Are the rules different in Virginia than perhaps in D.C. compared to Maryland?
Now, they're all statewide. They're somewhat similar. Honestly, every state can create their own regulations, and they can kind of edit regulations as they see fit that pertains to that state. Virginia and Maryland are very similar, but I would suggest if you're new to the area, if you're not familiar with the boating laws and regulations, take a look at those just to make sure you're up to date. If you're not familiar with, say, I'm from Virginia, if I go somewhere in Maryland, I may not be familiar with that lake or that river I'm on. So I'm going to take a look at, the regulations for that and make sure that I'm comfortable with that. And then I'm also going to make sure that I have everything on board that I need. Create a plan, just get familiar with your surroundings, get familiar with the regulations, make sure your boat's got all the necessary things on it, and go from there.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me, I know we've been talking a lot about boating, Paige, but talk to me about other kinds of water activities. What can you and can you not do on Virginia waterways that are really part of the DMV? What about, swimming as well as other watercrafts, the Sea-Doos?
I'm probably getting trouble with this. I mean, you can kind of do anything, essentially, as long as you're being safe while you're doing it. So if we were out, like today, I've been in Southwest Virginia at Smith Mountain Lake doing boating safety stuff, and we were out on the water, and there was a bunch of guys jet skiing. And they all had life jackets on, which was great, but they were being quite reckless. And so we kind of stopped and kind of looked and you know, gauge the situation and what they were doing, and then it didn't really warrant us to go say anything, but we sat there and we watched. So we just want to make sure that whatever kind of water sport you're doing, whether you're jet skiing, whether you're paddle boarding, whether you're just swimming next to the boat or at the dock or wherever you are, that you're being safe. You know, you're noticing your surroundings, you know, just keep an eye out. You know, drinking and boating don't mix, just like drinking and driving don't mix. So, you know, if you're partaking in some beverages, which sure we all do occasionally in the summer or whenever, just make sure that you're, you know, figuring out where you are, you know where the dock is, you know how to get back on the boat, you have a life jacket, you have some kind of a flotation device just to lay on, something right there to make sure if something goes wrong, you have a way out, essentially. But you can get on a float, you can be pulled behind the boat, you can jet ski, you can do any kind of paddlecraft, kayak, whatever. I mean, we're open. We enjoy, you know, having the resources to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, and we support it 100%. Well, I just want you to be safe while you're doing it.
Now, I know that there are some enforcement powers within the Division, Virginia's Department of Wildlife Resources, you know, that may be somewhat different from the state police. Can you talk to me about some of the things as it relates to your department that you can enforce, that you might have to address during the summer boating or summer water season?
Yeah, so our conservation police officers are fully sworn police officers.
Mm-hmm.
We have all the same powers, if not a little bit more, than regular, like, state police, per se. But our department, we are the boating people. So when we go to an accident or whatever, we are going because it is a boating accident.
Mm-hmm.
So say state police is not going to come out if you're in a boating accident. If you jump off the dock and hit your head, that is not necessarily a boating accident because you were essentially on land and jumping off.
Makes sense.
So we would take care of all the boating stuff, paddle craft, anything like that, missing persons, anything to do with water, essentially, if you come from a vessel of any sort. That is our jurisdiction. Now, we help out just like every other agency. We're all kind of together, and we all help out when needed. But for hunting-related accidents and boating-related accidents, that's our jurisdiction.
Now, here's something else. As you know, that you know, the use of recreational marijuana in the District of Columbia is legal. So, you know, there's no water line between D.C. and Virginia waterways. So, what happens when some guy from D.C. is in a 33-foot Chris Craft, and he.
Are you telling me what you're?
No, I'm not. I just figured. I just wake Edwin up, and you know, and that person is doing a doobie on the boat, and you can smell it. What do the laws say in Virginia about that kind of thing?
You know, that is a very good question, and I do not know the answer to it.
Mm-hmm.
I would say we probably won't bother you unless there's a reason to.
Mm-hmm.
We do our normal checks, sure, but that's just, you've got a bunch of kids on board and we don't see any life jackets, or you're being reckless of any sort, we'll go check. But if you're just casually out doing your thing, 9 times out of 10, we're probably not going to bother you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're acting like you would if you'd had too much to drink, per se, we might question it. I don't know what the repercussions are, to be honest. That's mm-hmm. a new thing in Virginia. So I'd have to, I can check on that and get back if anybody has a question about that, for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure those
off the top of my head.
Those that are doing it probably won't be asking a lot of questions, but.
Right. That's probably better. Just be safe. Wear your life jacket while you're doing it. We'll call it a day.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Matthew, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
This has nothing to do with the show tonight. So I'm doing a previous show. I'll have to call you back then.
Okay. Anyway. Okay. Well, as I said, when you were talking about things that people may be doing on the water that they shouldn't, maybe that was it. So I think one of the other things when you talk about safety as well, for, you know, for novices, Edwin, and this is one of the things that has, you know, often concerned me. If you are on a boat and the owner of the boat gets sick and you're out there where, we just had that big story, last week about the guy who was on the plane and the pilot, you know, had a medical emergency and he was forced to land the plane and knew nothing about it. So what about people who know nothing about boats? And if the person who owns the boat or pilots the boat gets sick, and you don't know, you know, what's happening, Edwin, what do you do?
Okay, most captains should designate a person, which we call a partner in command, and that person should have the basic knowledge of the vessel, how to bring the boat down, slow it down safely, how to use the radio. This is one of those times where you would get on channel 16 on your radio and actually issue a mayday. That channel is recognized and monitored by the Coast Guard and local authorities. So it's really important for that captain to have that partner in command who has basic safety and working knowledge of the vessel. Like I said, to bring the boat to a standstill safely, how to issue the life jackets, how to operate the radio, and even if need be, how to drop anchor or pull up the anchor and make your way to a safer part of the waterway itself. And these are all things that should be done prior to setting sail the day of.
Yep.
So it's good. Always we want to have a plan and know the rules of the road. And that would be something that at one point in time, some people were known as first mates of the boat or even a deckhand per se.
Mm-hmm.
And those people should have that working knowledge of not just that vessel, but what do you do if you see another vessel coming towards you and the captain, like you said, is incapacitated at the time? Do you go to your left? Do you go to your right? There are things that we teach you about the give way vessel and the stand on vessel. So these are all the small little things, not necessarily that you have to take every single class, but just a good background knowledge. Somebody else on that boat should know these kind of things to do.
Because one of the things that I'm thinking about, if, for example, you know, I live up in Baltimore, and I know that there are a lot of boaters who head out to the Chesapeake Bay, and you may be, you know, a novice or someone who's just along for the ride, and you lose sight of shore. And if something happens to the captain or the pilot of the boat or what have you, and you don't know which way to go, what do you do?
Yeah. That's partner in command should be able to also use a compass. For instance, the Baltimore Harbor, if you have your float plan ready and you're going to head south, then you know to get back home, then you hit north that way. But most of the radars, depth finders, and gadgets and gizmos that you buy for your boat now do have, you can pre-designate a course and then return course as well. And also, one of the things, if you are out at sea and you don't see it, you want to be able to read the waves because a wave that hits you from, you know, your starboard or port side, left or right, can actually capsize your vessel, especially in the bay when the winds pick up some. So one of the things we teach in the class is that you want to keep the bow of the boat, the front of the boat, over the waves at a 45-degree angle. This makes for easier transition over the waves and keeps the boat more stable.
Mm. And speaking of inclement weather, Paige, yeah. Paige, you know we're going to have some inclement weather on Sunday afternoon, okay?
Yep.
You know, talk to me about, you know, watching the weather, you know, and the plans and the like. I mean, I've been out as, you know, as a passenger, and it just amazes me. And maybe it's because you're on the water as opposed to on land, that just how quickly the weather can change when you're out to sea. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so I mimic everything that Edwin just said because he's spot on. So like I was saying earlier, if you're unfamiliar with a new location or in, just in your location that you're normal and you're familiar with, you can download a weather app. There's a couple different weather apps you can do, and you can point, you can put in your current location, and then you can look at the weather around it. It's really kind of an awesome thing. And so my advice is to create a plan, like Edwin said, create a plan, tell somebody where you're going out of, what time you're expected home, all the things. And then look at the weather. Look at the weather before you leave. Look at the weather when you before you leave the dock. And then when you get out there, hopefully you have service, look at the weather again. Just make sure you're cognizant of what is going on. Because like you said, it can change in a heartbeat, and it can change for the worse in a heartbeat. You know, we don't want you outside on the water when storm comes in, because that's just, it's scary for everybody. And especially if you have kiddos on the boat, nobody wants to be out in that. But just, I would recommend downloading some weather apps and making sure that you're familiar with your location, you get all that set up, and then you just watch it, you know, every hour, every 2 hours, just to make sure that, you know, if you're out, maybe you need to get in a little sooner than you thought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And getting in, even when the weather is decent, Edwin, one of the things we just haven't spoken about is that there are some people who are out on the water at night. How is that different? And Edwin, I'll certainly start with you, and Paige, you're welcome to chime in. But Edwin, you know, how is that different? Remember, you're talking to a novice here, compared to boating during the day. What kinds of things should a boat pilot be focused on after the sun goes down?
The first thing to go, obviously, is visibility at nighttime. So you want to make sure that your running lights, those are your red green lights and white lights, they're positioned on the boat for a reason. You can decipher if a boat's coming towards you or going away by the location of those green and red lights. The second would be take your time. It's not a race or anything. It's better to get home safely than get home or try to get home and cause an accident. Secondly, your panel instruments, your screens that come with your GPS equipment, they actually have night lights that actually contrast better in dark conditions, so they stand out more. Then you also have your things like your depth finder. For instance, here on the Anacostia River in D.C., outside fluctuates 3 feet up and 3 feet down twice a day. So if you're coming in at night, you think you're in a safe passage, safe channel, but because it's low tide, you may run aground. It can cause serious damage to your boat or even sink it. So you want to make sure that your depth finder is also working properly. That tells you how much water is underneath of your boat. So your depth finder, your running light, and your GPS are the three main pieces of equipment that you would use. If you really want to get fancy with it, you can purchase night vision goggles or something along those lines if you really want to get into it. But it's definitely, and also best to have a another partner in command or another even boat owner or someone experienced with boating to help you run your boat at night. It's just easier, and the more eyes you have on the water, the safer that everyone is.
Mm. Paige, your thoughts? What color are your night vision glasses, Paige?
Everything he just said is what I would say. Spot on. Absolutely spot on. And, you know, people drive at night all the time. And mm-hmm. I've been on a boat my entire life, and I still get a little nervous after dark. Honest, I can't lie. I mean, I do, and everyone I ride with is a seasoned boater. You know, even my dad. You know, so I trust them. But it's still a different ball game than it is when you can see everything. So you just want to make sure, like you said, like have your path might, you know, lined up. Make sure it'd be much better if you had somebody with you. Your lights are on. You know, you can get back to shore. And honestly, if you're that nervous about it, which a lot of people are, just go slow. You know, just go slow and make your way back as soon as you can.
Yeah. I have a few minutes left. From your perspective, Paige, anything that we've missed, I'm sure there is, and anything else you'd like to share with us?
You know, the only thing that it's a little gory, but last year there were 89 boating incidents with 49 injuries and 19 fatalities in our state, in Virginia. And so that is a statistic that we do not want to see again, obviously. So we just want to make sure that You know, you're wearing your life jacket. You're being safe. If you have questions, please let us know. We are happy to help. Make sure you have your plan going out. Make sure you're familiar with the area you're going out in, the water, the weather, all the things. Make sure you have all the necessary items on your boat, you know, a fire extinguisher. You need a whistle. You need all the things. You can find that on the website as well. Just want to make sure you're safe and make sure you're comfortable.
Are those numbers getting better or worse? And either way, to what do you attribute that?
You know, most of those fatalities could have been prevented by wearing a life jacket. And, you know, the accidents are here and there. They're kind of all over the board, and it's little things and everything we have to report. So it's little things. It's bigger things. You know, we've had a bunch of accidents this year that obviously resulted in fatalities that sometimes they can't be prevented with a life jacket, just given the speed of the vessel and different things, of course. But they're going, I don't want to say they're going up, but 19 is a lot, you know, and we don't want to see that. And so we are trying to get the word out as much as you can. Let us know what you need. We are here to help you. We are here to make your time on the water fun and enjoyable and memorable. And, you know, whatever we can do to help you get these numbers down, you know, we would love to do. But just to make sure you're safe, we don't want the numbers to go up. You know, they fluctuate, honestly, in the last 2 years, given the COVID stuff and all that. We do have a lot more people outside. We have a lot more people recreating in different areas because we weren't allowed to do anything else.
Yeah.
You know, and we're excited for that. And we're glad people are getting outdoors in different capacities. But, you know, with more people outdoors comes more accidents.
And I would say also, even for the best swimmers, natural water isn't like being in the neighborhood pool.
Right.
You know, we're talking, you know, big waves. We're not talking about chlorinated water. We're talking about nasty this and yucky that. And I'm sure that all of those things will contribute to a rather dangerous situation, as opposed to, you know, if you are in a pool, you have lifeguards there and you know exactly how deep the water is and the whole nine. So I can imagine that as much fun and enjoyment is possible, anything can happen
in a split second, even with the most seasoned swimmers, boaters, anything. You just need to be careful. You know, you just need to be careful.
Yeah. Edwin, I'll let you have the final word, your final thoughts about boating and safety.
I would say your instruments on board are some of your best tools to use. You always want to keep your eye on your temperature gauges. Before you even set sail, you want to make sure that your engines are clean and properly working with oil changes. When they're scheduled to happen, your safety equipment is up to date. Your flares are still on the same recommended timeline from the Coast Guard. Also, that when you're on the water, it's enjoyable for everybody. And the more that we all can stay safe, the more fun that we can actually have on the water. So my suggestion to everybody is to take a class, find somebody, a seasoned boater to talk to, and have a boat buddy. That can actually take you out on their boat, or maybe they used to have a boat for 20 or 30 years, but no longer do. Those are some of the best people to talk to, especially about your local waterways. They can tell you the good fishing spots, which spots to watch out for. It might be a tree in the river or just shallow at certain points. And communication is the key to a lot of the safety, preventing some of the hazards and staying safe on the water this year and every year.
Edwin Gassaway, Paige Pearson, you guys are absolutely the best. Thank you so very, very much for all of your help, your insight, and your information. I really appreciate it. I think I've learned something today.
We hope so. Thank you so much for having us.
Absolutely.
Yes, thank you. Truly a pleasure.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, May 20th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.